Moncrief on News Talk.
A bit like the way Morrissey might make you not want to listen to the Smiths anymore, every now and again, a car manufacturer brings out a new model that's so awful it damages the entire brand. Paddy Common from Dundee Cars is here to run through some of them. Afternoon, Paddy.
Sean.
Now, part of the reason we're doing this is because it's Ferrari's new electric car. And what's wrong with that?
Well,
apart from the price,
there's a couple of things. It has shaken the motoring world to its core this week.
Oh my God.
The Ferrari Luce, which is Italian for light, I believe. This is Ferrari's take on an electric vehicle. And it has shocked and annoyed the sort of Ferrari aficionados. Even the Italian government have been wading in because it just looks a little bit odd. It doesn't look like what people would imagine a Ferrari would look like. Mm. It's been described as looking very like the Nissan Leaf, which is a car you can get for €35,000. It has been described as looking like a Ferrari that's crashed into the back of a BYD.
Yes.
what it's basically shocked people for, because it's a five-seater. It's been designed in part by the man who designed the iPhone, Johnny Ive. Mm. And people are just saying that this isn't a Ferrari. When it was unveiled, it wiped billions, not millions, off the value of Ferrari. The
really?
Share price dropped, the valuation dropped 8% overnight. So the stock market was responding as well. So I thought it would be interesting to have a look at some cars over the years that have almost brought the companies involved to their knees.
Because it doesn't, in fairness, it just doesn't look like a Ferrari's you assume with, I suppose, you know, they're petrol heads, they're sexy, they're driving fast. This looks like a boring family car.
Yeah, and look, what it seems to be is that Ferrari are not aiming this at their traditional Ferrari owners. This car is being aimed squarely at tech billionaires and millionaires and entrepreneurs who've made loads of money, who want their first Ferrari. They expect that this car won't appeal to people who already own a Ferrari. At about €550,000, it goes fast, obviously. It doesn't go much further than other cars that are €500,000 cheaper. So it's quite a departure. And look, it's like anything else. Is all publicity is good publicity potentially, but it won't wipe Ferrari out. Ferrari are one of the most valuable car companies in the world, but it has been causing some controversy this week.
Yeah, I saw a great meme that the new electric Ferrari is powered by Enzo Ferrari spinning in his grave. Somebody else says, in my opinion, the new Subaru Impreza, the hatchback one, has ruined that brand. You see more old ones around than new ones.
Right.
Gosh, people love. Now, the Edsel, which is probably the most notorious example of this. It was a massive tank of a thing.
1958, Ford were in a situation where they were trying to get their customers to come on that journey with them as they climbed the social and corporate ladder. So they had a gap. They had a gap between people who were in their Fords, and then they had a luxury brand called Mercury then at the other end. And they had that gap in the middle where they needed people to come into something new, and they thought, right, I know what we're going to do. We're going to create a new brand, and it's going to be called Edsel. Now, they did what they thought was revolutionary at the time, and probably a mistake, was that they asked people what they wanted. So they went, it was the cutting edge of the time of going and having surveys and customer surveys and clinics. And they asked people what it wanted. And it was that old, you know, it ended up being a horse designed by a committee.
A committee.
It's this thing was an eyesore of a thing. It had if anyone knows or wants to look up what it looked like, the center of the grill looked like a toilet seat.
Yeah.
So it was beset with problems. It cost an absolute fortune in today's money, about €3 billion or $3 billion in today's money. They only sold about 110,000 of these models. Horrible failure, and the word Edsel has kind of become a byword for corporate failure.
Yeah. No, but was that an instance where there may have been people within Ford saying, are you out of your nuts doing this? But they went ahead anyway.
Well, I mean, we're going to be picking on Ford a little bit later on, but yeah. It wasn't their finest hour. But yeah, generally, it's one of those things. Maybe don't ask people what they want. Just give them what you think might work.
The Ford Pinto. Poor old Ford are getting a kick in here. Is it too much to say this car was a bit of a death trap?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's Ford of a different time, but basically Ford were up against it in America because cars like the Volkswagen Beetle were huge successes, yeah, Toyota, yeah, Corollas. This is the 70s when, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, fuel crisis, you know, they needed to make smaller cars. So they rushed through this car called the Ford Pinto, which was a compact car, still by our standards, probably quite a big car. But there was a bit of a technical issue, to say the least, in that they had the fuel tank too far close to the rear of the car. So any sort of reasonable rear shunt was resulting in the doors being fixed closed and the car going up in flames.
Okay.
Like a bomb. A bit of a design flaw, as you can imagine. So there was, it was a serious story. People lost their lives. But then there was the famous memo. And there was the leaking at one stage of an internal memo, which allegedly, and you know, I'm being careful with my words, but it was alleged that that they did the maths and they figured that it was cheaper to figure out paying
fix
the car itself. Yeah. Now, they ended up having to do that. They recalled all the cars. It was one of the biggest corporate scandals of the 70s. And they ended up having to recall a huge amount of these vehicles. 1.5 million were recalled in 1978. And it took 4 years to come back from that. But the Pinto was not a...
Whoa, that must have cost them a fortune to recall.
But nothing to do with the brand now, Sean.
Nothing to do with... No, but at the same time, Ford survived.
Yeah.
Someone says the Fiat Multipla, the ugliest car known to the universe, looks like the car Homer designed in The Simpsons, says Joe. Now that you mention that, Joe, the Pontiac Aztec, did that actually finish off Pontiac?
They didn't finish them directly, but they did end up winding up later on. But Pontiac, this was a car that was, your texter said this was, the Multi was an ugly car. This was voted the world's ugliest car by several publications. And if you look at a picture of it, and I suppose if any Breaking Bad fans are out there, they'll know it as the car that Walter White drove in early on in the series. It looks like two cars, one car stuck on top of another car. There's literally no rhyme or reason to the grille of this thing because it looks like it has the front of two cars sitting on top of each other. It's neither one thing or the other. It's trying to be a car. It's trying to be an SUV. Absolute failure. It came out in 2000. They sold about 119,000, which for America is terrible. A car that was it certainly really showed that the car had lost its identity. The brand had lost its identity, but yeah, absolute failure. But look, they have a weird cult following now from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. But I suppose it wouldn't have directly finished Pontiac, but it would have been, if you like, the kind of start of that, you know.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? You've really lost your way, exactly.
Yeah, and it eventually ended. Now, Ferrari are the, Tony says the Edsel car's interior is a thing of beauty.
Yeah, that was
never
fine.
Been inside
so
one.
Yeah, you just never had to get out of it.
Yes, that was a small issue.
Yeah,
right. So the Ferrari are the only ones to bring out their own little kind of little quirks. Tell us about the Signet. This is launched by Aston Martin.
Aston Martin.
It's tiny.
It is tiny, and there's a reason why it's tiny because it is a thing called a Toyota IQ, which was a car, a very small Toyota, which was on sale here in Ireland for a few years. No longer. But it Aston Martin had a bit of an issue, like other manufacturers of supercars, and that they had to bring down their carbon footprint. So they found a way of reducing their carbon footprint and their owners by rebadging a Toyota IQ as an Aston Martin. So they put in all of the fine wood, leather, all the fancy wheels, all the bits and bobs, and charged three times the price for it. So it was £30,000 in the UK. And it was meant to be almost like a jetty for these luxury car owners to be able to drive there throughout the city. But no, it didn't work. But ironically, and the weird thing is, they're now worth more than the cars from the time that, so someone, you know, so the, say the DB9, which is a very expensive car, and people were expected to buy this small car. Now these cars are worth more than that because of their scarcity.
That's kind of ironic, isn't it? It's more than a little ironic. The thing is, though, if like the car itself, if it hadn't been an Aston Martin, it, you know, if it had been a Fiat or something, it probably would have done fine.
Yeah, well, the Toyota version did okay, but the Toyota version would have been about, you know, 10 or 12,000 at the time. Aston Martin decided they'd charge three times for that, but no, it wasn't a car that was a huge success.
Yeah, and now, and a texter says, though, long live ugly cars. All new cars look the same now. Didn't they have a
There's
point?
There's a great point in that. I have come out to car parks, and I would now, I grew up loving cars since I was a child, and now I find it harder to see them apart because they've become so similar, because it's all aerodynamics, it's all shared components, there's so many brands who are making cars for someone else that it's got very generic altogether.
Yeah, particularly kind of some of your electric cars.
Yeah.
Do you remember Knight Rider? A lot of them look like cars that were a futuristic car, the idea of a futuristic car in the 1980s.
Yeah, the
now
Jetsons.
You see these things. Yeah. Exactly. Now you see these things kind of driving around the place.
Yeah, and it's got disappointing, unfortunately. Yeah. But look, that's going to be that way for a while, because cars all have to look a certain shape, and they have to glide through the air, especially the electric vehicles, because, you know, people want to go as far as possible and get as much range as possible. So, yeah, unfortunately, that texter who had said about the Multiply, that's one of my favourite cars. Ugly looking thing, but absolutely magnificent in design.
Somebody else says the new Ford Capri is an insult to the Capri legacy.
Oh, very controversial, yeah.
Ford, is it?
Ford brought out the Capri, which was another large electric SUV, but they decided they would use the Capri name, and there was huge controversy. Now, my theory is that this was another reasonably bland SUV, electric SUV that was coming out, and they wanted some way to get publicity for it, and wow, they got it. So yeah, there was a lot of people very upset about it.
Does it have fluffy dice in it even?
Yeah. And the faint past. Aroma of brute.
Paddy, thanks a million. As ever, that was Paddy Common there, who is, of course, head of automotive content and communications with Dundeal Cars.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.